to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. New month. Today's date is September 2nd, 2021. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize that we are in that time of the end. And what time is that? That's the time before Messiah Yeshua's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to that one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, please, please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, cell phone number 316-619-4886. Text me first, please, so that I know you're not a robocall. Anyway, find the updates with the breaking news, all about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information. All this at the Ministry Hub, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program with simulcast live on the net internationally, on YouTube, podcast, also some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener base. This week, places like Madrid, Spain, Oslo, Norway, Tijuana, Nadu, India, and, of course, in the United States, such as San Jose, California, Raleigh, North Carolina, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Kansas City, Missouri, we're still the largest group of listeners to our programs when they podcast later tonight. Now, Kansas City, you know who's right up there behind you? Paris, France. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Anyway, by the way, folks, we ask you to send an email or just text my phone, 316-619-4886. Let me know what city you're hailing from. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now prayer, and we'll bring on one of our favorite guests of the month. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, first I lift up all the people that were left behind in Afghanistan. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will, not our will, Father. Please, 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 give everyone ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we got Pastor Carl on tonight, and we'll see what we're going to talk about. Not sure where we're going to go yet. I hear he's got a new book, so we'll just see where we go tonight. Pastor Carl, if you don't know who he is, Pastor Carl Gallups is a best-selling author. He's been a senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He's been heard nationally and internationally on TV, and he's a commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. He is the founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network. He's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 11 books now. I think I got that right. The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared. Let's see what we got. Okay, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Gods of the Final Kingdom, Masquerade, The Summoning, and he's working on a new book. I do know that. So welcome, Pastor Carl. How are you tonight?
Pastor Dan, I'm doing great, man. And listen, I haven't talked to you in a while. I guess you are doing better and feeling better, huh?
Oh, you know what? My attitude's getting better, too. I'm almost, you know, pain-free. My knee's got soreness in it, but I'm happy to re-strengthen it, you know, because of all that it went through. But there's going to be some physical therapy and everything, but I'm well on the path to recovery, and I'm getting around pretty good. And for the folks out there, you know, I haven't been at the Mission Church. Oh, my wife and my son's been running it, and my daughters. Tomorrow, Friday, will be my first day back in months, and so I'm really, really looking forward to that. So, yeah, amen. And I want to thank you for your prayers, Carl, and anybody else that's been out there praying for us, but I really want to thank you for your prayers.
Thank you. Yeah, my wife and I have been praying for you, brother, ever since we found out, and we love you so much. You've been so good to us, and thanks for having me on tonight. I'm looking forward to this, as always.
Well, amen. There's always so much to talk about, and you know, a lot of times I joke and say I try to trick you into talking about things, but it's just so well informed. There hasn't been really anything that I've been able to bring over for all these years that we've been on radio that you didn't have an answer for.
Well, that's what my third grade school teachers used to tell me.
Or, you know what they described, my son was in this class, farmers, you know, class or whatever,
yeah.
And they introduced him at this meeting, and what they said, they said little funny puns about him, and that's Elijah sitting over there listening to me. But the teacher said that, Elijah knows everything, just ask him.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Hey, my mom and dad used to get my report cards. I've always been a good student. I've been blessed with that. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying God blessed me with a pretty good brain, and I've always loved to learn, and even as a kid. But my report cards would come home, and my father was a college professor, and I mean, school of business, accounting and auditing and financing, you know, one of those kind of guys. And he'd get my report cards, and they would say, Carl's a good student, he has a delightful personality, but he just talks too much in class. So see, the Lord took a personality flaw and turned it into a ministry.
Well, you know, Carl, it's like that. If you're in the ministry and you don't know how to talk, you're in trouble. You know?
I guess. But anyway... No, but listen, brother, I'm just very blessed. My church allows me to do so much, so many types of ministry, TV and radio, and I've got my own radio show, as you said, and been doing that for 20 years, and of course I love preaching and teaching and doing conferences, and I like making the Word of God relevant, you know, to what's happening. I mean, I don't do what we call headline prophecies, where we just take any headline and try to figure out, you know, that is a prophecy, and then we set dates by it and all that. I don't do that. But what I do is just take the general picture of the Word of God and what Jesus said and what Daniel said and what the book of Revelation said and Zechariah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and all of this, the whole New Testament, when it speaks of where everything is headed and what the signs would be for the last days, generations, and I'm putting an S on the back of it because I'm not a date setter, but just, you know, Jesus himself commanded us. Look, you got to know the seasons. You got to know the times. Even Paul said, look, the last days will not overtake you, dear brothers, that is the church, like a thief in the night, because you are children of the light. You walk in light. You don't walk in darkness. The Holy Spirit reveals these things to you. So what I've just tried to do in my 35 years of pulpit ministry is just hopefully bring the Word alive so that God's people can understand how to live a dynamic and fruitful and victorious Christian life in the midst of a crazy world, but also to kind of get a feel for where we are and what's happening and, you know, to make some sense of our world. And so in the 35 years I've been preaching, my goodness, our world has changed so much. You know, the sin nature of humanity, the heart of humankind, has never changed. I mean, it's been the same since the garden fall and since the days of Noah. But technology has changed tremendously. And all of that is prophesied in the Word of God, in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yes, explosion in technology. And the Bible even speaks of certain kinds of technologies. And when you look at this, you understand that we are that generation. Again, not setting dates. I don't know if the Lord's going to come before you and I close our eyes in death, for example, but very, very soon, because I mean, Israel has returned to the promised land like the Bible said would happen. It's been there 73 years. Now, 3 years ago, Jerusalem has been returned to Israel as the bona fide capital, and the nations of the world are enraged, especially the Muslim nations. And they're already drawing up battle plans and, you know, and all of these coalitions of nations that we find in Ezekiel chapter 38 are basically forming up right before our eyes. So all of that's happening. Then on top of it, unbelievable technological advancements and explosions that also account for other prophecies being fulfilled that are spoken of in the scriptures, but we're the only generation to see it happen. And the only generation to see these three things happen: Israel return, Jerusalem becoming the chief city again, or the capital, we would call it, and these technological explosions that are spoken of in the Word of God. No other generation before us has seen these things. We're watching them right in front of our face. And I guess my heart breaks because so much of the church just doesn't seem to get it, you know, around the world anyway. A lot of your listeners do, probably most of them do, but so much of the church around the world doesn't see these things. And so that's what my ministry is about, just trying to wake up the church. Not to scare people, not setting dates, not claiming the sky is falling, but just say, look, the Bible has an explanation for the stupidity and the madness and the depravity that you're watching. We know what's happening, and we know why, and we know where it's all headed. So anyway, that's kind of my ministry. The Lord's honored and blessed it, and the people that I pastor, they're very good to me. They let me do all these book writings and media appearances and preaching and teaching conferences, and they've been very, very good.
Well, they're really blessed to have you. And as I pointed out, and so, you know, folks, this is the kind of pastor that your church should be at, warning you, nurturing, let you know what's going on. And this is the kind of pastor your pastor should be, especially right now, not avoiding, you know, end time things and so on and so forth. Carl, before we really get much further, I want to touch on a couple of people and a couple of things that are really on my heart. And this goes out, you know, for one, we know what's terrible going on in Afghanistan. Afghanistan was like it was overnight. You understand what I'm saying? And
yeah,
get reports from various ministries where they're connected to Joel Richardson and other people, that, you know, they're even going house to house looking for Christians and Americans, and some are being put to death, some are being beat up, and so on and so forth. There's school children that are still trapped over there. Goes on and on and on. But I want to recognize the effort of a couple of people. One which really surprised me is Glenn Beck jumped forward, and he last count, they rescued over 5,000 Christian refugees, and surprisingly, I mean, to me, surprisingly, Kenneth Copeland loaned him his airplane to do that, a lot of that rescue. And he also donated a sum in the millions of dollars that I don't want to actually put a finger on. And so hats off to, and my heart goes out to Glenn Beck and to Kenneth Copeland for helping him do it. The military veterans, the Pineapple, they called themselves the Pineapple Express, and some military veterans, special forces people got together and did a bailout of their own, and they got thousands of people out from what I hear. And they called themselves the Pineapple Express, and because they're special forces, they knew of a secret gate and were able to bring people in and fly them out with happen to go about the State Department. And then again, Joel Richardson, he's working with people in the country that I can confirm that they are going door to door and killing people. And I've heard some of the people talk and everything. And yeah, they're being hunted down. A lot of Christians are being hunted down, and people that were friendly to the Taliban or to the American government, whatever. They're also being hunted down. But Joel Richardson, hats off to the ministries that you're connected with, and folks, you can go to joelstrumpet.com and find out all about it. And they're really helping people, and they're also helping the church that decided to stay there to preach the gospel. So my heart really goes out to those people that are willing to lay their life, that love their, that are loving their lives, not un, you know, not unto death. You know what I mean? They're willing to be there and be martyred to spread the gospel. So amen. So there's some miraculous things going on over there, and then this will go into the conversation I kind of want to talk about. You know, when we're seeing these people go door to door and pulling out people that are, number one, that aren't of their belief, or you know, from another government, and some of them are being beheaded or hung or whatever. You know, it just, my heart goes to the Word of God, and this is where I'm going to bring you back in, Carl. Goes to the Word where it talks about that people will be put to death for not accepting the mark of the beast. And so, also, you've got to know, folks, you keep saying this and that's the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is also, it's an, I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but it has to be also an act of worship of the beast. But these things are shadow things of what's going to happen, and it could come overnight. Back to you.
Yeah, no, listen, first of all, you said a mouthful of good stuff. And let me just say, Joel Richardson's a dear friend of mine. I have endorsed some of his books. He's endorsed some of my books. We've written stuff for each other in books, and we've spoken at conferences together, and we've just become good friends, and I love the man. His heart is pure as gold, and he just has a heart for the people in the Middle East, and he lays his life on the line. He puts his money where his mouth is, and vice versa. I mean, he's an amazing guy, and I'm so glad you guys are hooked up and that he's a good friend of yours as well. We need to pray for him. And, yeah, look, I love seeing the Christian world come together, even though we might, some of us might kind of have disagreements or various things about, you know, certain doctrinal stances. Some of the doctrinal stances are important, but, brother, there's a lot of them that just aren't as far as the eternal scope of things. You know, people fight over which version of the Bible, and I know some people would just go crazy about that, but I could go on and on, and I don't want to split your audience up. I'm not taking a stand on any of that right now. I'm just saying it's time for the people that love Jesus and stand on God's word to come together and quit fighting each other, because we've got a common enemy out there. Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion. He's devouring whatever he can devour. Our nation's right on the brink of being devoured. It's just right on the brink. And I know people don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. And the thing that will destroy us is if we stick our head in the sand and pretend like it's not happening. But on the other hand, you know, you mentioned about Mark of the Beast and all that. You're right. And here's what I say to that, just generally. And we can get into in-depth discussions if you'd like, Pastor Dan. This is your house, and I'll respect your house. But I can just say this. I don't want to be that guy like the Pharisees. And here's what I mean. Of course, everybody would say, amen, me either. But wait. I've said this before on your show, and I want to say it again. It sounds like a no-brainer once I say it. But when you extrapolate it to our times and what we're doing, we're making a lot of the same mistakes that the Pharisees made. When I say we, I mean, even I have fallen into that trap over the years, and I've had to back my way out of it and say, wait a minute, Lord, forgive me. I've got to take a broader view of this. And here's what I mean. Here was the Word that became flesh, born in Bethlehem, like the Scripture said, came out of Galilee, like the Scripture said, began preaching and teaching what like no one had ever heard, like the Scripture said, began working miracles that no man had ever seen before or had ever done before, like the Scripture said, delivered himself to the nails, hands and feet pierced, right down to the prophecies about gambling for his clothing under his feet, right down to Psalm 22 and the very things the people that surrounded his cross would say, opening the eyes of the blind, healing the lame and the deaf and the lepers and setting the captives free, all of these things that are in the Old Testament and more, right down to his genealogy and everything, he's standing right in front of the Pharisees, been doing all of this in the wide open for 3 years. That's what he says. He says, for which miracle are you going to stone me? Well, we're not going to stone you for any miracle, but we're stoning you because you are a mere man and you claim to be God. Well, I mean, they were so arrogant, and they had their charts and graphs and maps, and if they had the technology, they would have had PowerPoint presentations, and they had it all lined out, how and who and what the Messiah would do and what he would look like. They even believed that when Messiah appeared, he would come first to them, the Pharisees and the high priest. He would present himself to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin would be allowed to present him to the world, and that they would sit at his right hand and left hand and govern with him. I mean, they were so arrogant and just believed that they knew every detail of exactly how it was all going to come to pass and how they were going to be a part of it. And so here he is standing right in front of them in the flesh, God, their creator, in the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among them and touched them and breathed on them and spoke to them and ate with them. He went into their houses, some of them, and ate with them. In the meantime, he is in front of 10,000 people, feeding people with a few loaves of bread and a few fish, and he's performing these miracles and driving out demons before the eyes of the Pharisees. Yet, in the name of God, they crucified the Son of God outside the city of God, within a stone's throw of the temple of God, thinking they were doing God a favor, brother. And when they walked away from the crucifixion that day, they were patting each other on the back. And I'm telling you, brother, I just think the church of today is making a lot of the same mistakes. And I know people don't want to hear this, but people are saying, no, this can't be that, because that's not what my chart and graph and map says. That's not the way I was taught. That's not what the movies about this say. That's not what that series of novels say. That's not what my favorite preacher says. And it's like, oh my gosh, guys, let's just back up and chill. Let's take a little broader view of things and just leave room for the fact that we could be wrong about our charts and graphs and maps. The Pharisees certainly were. We sit around and curse them under, mumble them under our breath, and we're doing the same thing, I'm afraid, Pastor Dan. So back to what you're talking about. We see this massive persecution of Christians in Afghanistan. It's right in front of our face, and it horrifies us. But, brother, it's coming to America. Some of it's already here. It's already all over the world. And for the last 100 years, more Christians have been killed for their faith than in all of the years before it, from the birth of the church up to then, put together. And that comes out of organizations that catalog this stuff, and they've been doing it for decades. I'm not just pulling that out of my back pocket. And so, you know, and Jesus told us in the last days there would be a time of great tribulation like never before. And that word tribulation now, it means, it comes from the Greek word phlipsis, and it means this pressure, this grinding pressure that makes people even die of heart attacks, Jesus said. People's hearts would fail them in those days. And pressure just coming in from the world and from Satan against the church and against the returned Israel, and the United States kind of represents the Christian world in that way, or at least we have, you know. And so we're watching it all happen, brother. Israel is hated. The United States is hated. Law and order is hated. Truth is thrown to the ground. And pandemics, and now forced vaccinations, and mask up, and go home, and, you know, and now Afghanistan falls, and, you know, people are being put to death because they're Christians, or they're Americans, or they're Jews, and brother, I'm just trying to tell these people that are sitting around reading their books and novels and what somebody said three decades ago, and they've built these little PowerPoints around it, and they're walking around, they're doing conferences declaring, by gosh, this is the way it is. And so much of it, in my humble opinion, does not match with the contextual Word of God. And so I'm just trying to gently but firmly wake the church up. Not that I know everything, not that I think I don't have any charts and graphs and maps, but I just don't want to be those guys, those Pharisees that walk around with my nose in the air thinking that I've got it all figured out. And then we miss. They missed, Pastor Dan. They missed the Messiah. He was standing right in front of them. Now, we're not going to miss his return. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying we're going to miss the time we're living in. We're going to miss what's happening if we're not awake, if we're not walking in the light, if we're not rightly dividing the word of truth in context, we're going to miss our times and we're going to miss our opportunity to live in the most amazing prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. That took me a long time to say. I'm sorry, but did it make sense?
It makes great sense, and I hope this makes sense. Folks, we'll be right back in about a minute.
Go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
In this time of the social and spiritual breakdown of America and the world, in these prophetic end times, God is calling multitudes of Christians to the Ozarks and other safe havens around the world to survive so they can spread the gospel. The Ark Haven Intentional Neighbors Vision is to prepare Christians physically, mentally, and spiritually for these end times. Thousands are coming to the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas and Missouri, where even the CIA says it's one of the safest places on earth. The Intentional Neighbors concept allows Christian neighbors to own adjacent land to each other so they can aid and help each other. The community is exploding with nurses, a doctor, and other professionals, as well as many others. If you cannot afford to buy a house, you can rent a house. Call 479-502-1789. That's 479-502-1789. Or visit arkhaven.org. That's arkhaven.org. Tell them Pastor Dan sent you.
What would you do if you had to tell a person the most important information in the world, but you knew they wouldn't believe you? Would you tell them? Well, most would. So what is the most important information in the world to all people, nations, and languages? The most important thing to do is to receive Jesus. But the most important thing not to do is don't take the mark of the beast, because those taking the mark of the beast do not get soul death, but are eternally tormented in hell. Revelation 14:11 says, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, or whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. But how do you tell them? Give them the book, Miss the Mark. If they'll read this simple, thin, easy-to-read book, they will never take the mark of the beast. One for 20, but don't do that. We offer them shrink-wrapped sets of 10 to give away. One set of 10 for 30, two sets 45, four sets 70 at prophecyclub.com. Miss the mark at prophecyclub.com. Miss the mark at prophecyclub.com.
We're back. This is Pastor Dan, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, I pushed the wrong button. I don't know how to get it back. Okay. Do I sound all right over there, folks? I hope so. What was I talking? Okay, you can donate. Folks, we really need your help at the Wichita Mission Church. You can donate online, mail a check or money order. Give all this information over the telephone. You can find it all at prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl. Do I sound all right over there, Carl?
Yeah. The sound coming across my speakers is it's very garbled, but when you speak, it's perfectly clear. So that's all, I guess, that matters to me. I don't hear the music, for example, when you're going out, and I don't hear, you know, during the break, I just hear a lot of garbled sound. So I don't know if everybody else is hearing that or if that's just me.
Yeah, that happened. We had a little bit of a problem with that in the first program today. We haven't defined what that is yet. But as long as you can hear me and I can hear you, you know what? I really don't care about the commercials. They're not as important as the conversation we're having, right? So, amen. We'll get it figured out. Let's
okay.
that's just, you know, especially when you end up, Frank and American Voice Radio is clear in Eagle Point, Oregon. You know, it ain't like we're sitting right next to each other and we can figure it out. So you just it on my end. Okay, you're playing the music, but I can't hear it right. Okay, well, it sounds good over here. Well, you know, back and forth till you figure it out.
Yeah,
but we'll figure it out. But
okay,
we're saying before we get on, you know, I totally agree with you. You know, I mean, about us falling into being a Pharisee. Let me point this out. Now, Joe, you brought up Joe again because I brought him up, but I'm going to bring him up again.
Yeah.
On a recent video that he made. Now, I'm sure you've seen The Fiddler on the Roof, right, Carl?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, many times. I own the musical, yes.
Yeah, okay. Amen. You know, and I'm with Joe right there. I love that guy. I love the way he talks to the Father, and I do the same thing. I walk in the rock. I've got a place in my backyard where I don't allow anything. It's just some trees and stuff. And I walk around talking to him out there out loud, right? But this is what Joel said about it. He said, you know, he's like that guy in the sense that he'll go, well, on one hand, he'll say to the Father, and he'll give him, you know, some examples. Maybe something is not so good from that point of view. And then he'll go, but on the other hand, and then he'll give the other side of it, which is good. And so he's doing both sides. And that's what Joel says. He says, well, you know, I try to keep an open mind, you know, with both sides. He says, because what you said, we don't all know. We don't absolutely have everything right. We're right. The body of Messiah. We need each other. We got hands, feet, arms, legs. How can a foot walk without a leg? And so on and so forth. So we need each other. We also need to realize, come to that big thing, get over our pride, and realize that we're not 100% right. Well, you know what I'm saying. Back to you.
Yeah, no, I do. And you're expressing my heart here, and I want your audience to hear my heart. I am not trying to divide God's people over this stuff. I'm trying to unite them. That's what I'm trying to say here. And I'm not saying, you know, the timing of the rapture, is it pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Okay. And I agree, and I understand why people want to get in certain camps and what they see in the scriptures. And you know how I feel about that. And I just tell people, look, you know, Jesus told us some things. He said it will be just like the days of Noah, just like the days of Lot. Well, go read those, all of the passages in the Bible. And Lot is spoken of, or the Sodom and Gomorrah spoken of, from Genesis, literally, to the book of Revelation, you will find it. Noah, by name, is spoken of in several places outside of Genesis in the Old Testament, and several places in the New Testament. Out of the mouth of Jesus, out of the mouth of the writer of Hebrews, out of the mouth of Peter in 1 Peter, out of the mouth of Peter again in 2 Peter. I mean, so read all of that. And of course, I made it easy for you with my book, The Summoning, because I do it all for you. But you read all of that, and you get a really good picture out of the mouth of Jesus how it's all going to pan out. And I just tell people, look, I don't know every jot and tittle. I don't claim to have all knowledge, but I do claim to take the clue that Jesus gave us. I know what the Bible says about the days of Noah. I know what it says about the days of Lot from Genesis to Revelation. And I measure everything else through that because Jesus told us to do that. Does that make sense, Pastor Dan? I mean, I'm not trying to be aggravating to other people on their views. I'm just saying if it doesn't match what Jesus said, it can't be right.
Right. And I've got something to throw into you. So, okay, we're supposed to judge by the word. We are supposed to judge. I just had somebody on Facebook throw something and say, well, you're judging. You're not supposed to judge. Well, they didn't even read the whole scripture. The scripture said, judge not lest ye be judged by the same standard. Make sure it's out of your eye before you go and help pull that mote out of your brother's eye. So it tells us to really judge righteously and judge by the word, not
correct.
Judgmental sense. How do you explain that with getting the point across with saying, well, like you're being judgmental? If we don't tell people they're stumbling about to fall off a cliff, who's going to do it?
Yeah, well, first of all, there's context to everything. And this is a perfect point. Thank you for bringing it up. And people ask me this all the time. And listen, I don't jump in their face and say, hey, idiot. You know, I just say, you know what? That's a good question. That's a good point. A lot of people have that question. And here's the context. Jesus was speaking directly to the Pharisees who were self-righteous in their judgment. They judged everybody else by them, by themselves. In other words, you live like we live or God won't love you. Because we obviously are loved by God because look who we are. We have been appointed. We look how God is blessing us. We are the leaders of Israel, and we are the ones that write the laws. You know, they took the 616 or 11 or 12, I forgot how many now, 13 laws that they had found in the Old Testament, and they added law upon law upon law upon law of their own. That's why Jesus told them, you know, you're nullifying the Word of God by holding to your traditions. But they thought their traditions were equal to God's Word. And so the point being that they just muddied the waters to the truth of God's Word. And that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that, look, we have got to take the Word of God in context. So when people say, well, you shouldn't judge me, you're judging me. But wait. It, to break God's Word in that respect, the context is, if I say to you, Dan, how often do you pray each day? And you say, oh, Carl, I pray probably, in the course of the day, probably a good hour. And I say, well, brother, I pray 4 or 5 hours a day. And, when you can come up to that standard, I think you'll be, that's what this self-righteous judgment is. And that's what Jesus said. He said, be careful how you judge, lest you be judged by the same standard by which you judge. So that's what that means in context. Now, the flip side of it is, what did he say? He says, be careful of, for example, of false prophets. He said, look, can a good tree produce bad fruit? Can a bad tree produce good fruit? No. He says, so you judge them by their fruits. In other words, he tells us to judge people. And those verses came just a few verses after he had said, be careful about being judgmental, by being a self-righteous judge. So the bottom line is, listen, I don't do this perfectly, please hear me, but I'm going to give you an example of what I try to do and what I teach other people in the church that I pastor, and that is this. Look, do not use yourself as a standard for anybody else's righteousness. You can use yourself as an example. I do that all the time. People will come in my office and say, look, you know, Pastor Carl, I know this not right. I mean, I'm new to your church. You need to know I'm living with a woman, let's say, and we have been for years, and we're not going to get married, but we want to join the church, and we want to sing in the choir, and we want to do missions, and we want to do this. And so I will counsel them on what the Word of God says, and usually they'll bow up, and they won't like it. And then finally I'll say, well, let me just put it to you like this. What if my wife, God forbid, but what if she passed away? Or what if she left me for another man? And I'm the pastor that you love, and you want to hear my preaching and teaching, but after my wife is out of my life, within months, I've got a woman living in my house with me. Would you want to come to church here? Would you want to hear me preach? Is it okay? And every one of them down through the years when I've given that illustration, well, that's different. That's different. You're the preacher. I said, wait a minute. There's not one standard as far as fornication and adultery goes for preachers and a different standard for Christians that are not preachers, and then they start getting it. So what I've done, I've not judged him by me. I judge by the Word of God, but it's okay to use yourself as an example if that kind of wakes them up to the process of God's Word. So I do that, but I tell Christians, look, we are supposed to be fruit inspectors and judges. If people talk to us about the Word and, well, I believe the Word of God says so and so and so and so, therefore I can do this and I can do that. My response is, well, brother, I'm not your judge, but the Word of God is. And you've just taken things completely out of context to justify your sin. And then I gently lead them into the context and show them, just like I did with the last few moments here. And so that's the answer to the question. It's, you know, people throw that up in your face. Usually they're living in sin or they're wrong about something and they know it, and they throw that up as their wall of defense, thinking, gotcha, I'm going to get you out of my face because I'm going to say, you can't judge me. How dare you judge me? Well, actually, if I'm not judging you by me, but I'm judging you by the contextual Word of God, and I'm doing that lovingly, and I'm doing that, you know, with a heart to restore you, then yes, I can, and yes, I must. In fact, the Bible tells us in Galatians 5 that we should, if a brother is caught in sin, and that word caught doesn't mean we catch him, it means tangled up in, caught up in, like caught in the weeds. If a brother is caught up in sin, go to him and gently restore him, but be careful how you do it with the attitude, because you could fall into the same sin. So we are supposed to gently and lovingly and contextually, I guess you can use the word judge or examine each other, and also be open to somebody lovingly examining us. But no, we're not supposed to walk around thinking, man, I've got this Christianity down, and I'm going to start telling people they need to be like me. Does that make sense, Pastor Dan?
It makes a lot of sense, and you bring up a real big subject out of context. People don't. There are so many people that just scripture pick, and one, and you mentioned the rest of the scripture. You know how it says, okay, you know, it'll come like a thief in the night, but it won't come to you that way.
That's right.
Well, but you know, they use the well, he's coming out of the thief in the night all the time, and they never say the rest of the scripture.
Exactly.
That one really, that's probably the one of the main scriptures that really, way, way early, you know, before I ever started preaching or anything like that, got me away from pre-trib rapture, because when I read it for myself, I said, well, that doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It just didn't even finish the rest of the sentence.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so it's something that drives you crazy, and I don't want to get into that deep.
I know.
Enough that you can share with us and tell us what the new book's about.
Oh, yeah, I can. I can tell you the title of it and tell you what it's about, and my publisher won't. I actually asked them the other day. I said, look, there are people like Pastor Dan and others that are dear friends of mine. They're wanting to know, can I just start sharing it? And they, you know, the cover's designed, the title is copyrighted, the material's copyrighted, it's all in the editing process now, so yeah, I can do it. It's called Glimpses of Glory. That's the title so far that they've approved. And here's what I've done, Pastor Dan. You know, I've written, I think, I don't know, 10, 11, maybe 12 books now. I've helped some other people write books, so I can't really remember how many I've written. I think it's almost a dozen now. But the point is, in a lot of my books, and you've read a bunch of them, so you're going to know what I'm talking about, I have chapters of what I call third person, immersive text, where I put you on the road with Jesus. I put you at the foot of the cross with Jesus. I put you, you know, with his disciples privately when he's explaining scriptures. I put you there when he's being harassed by the Pharisees and he's answering their questions. And so it's like you're there, you know, and I try, and I'm not saying I'm that great of a writer, but I try to help the audience, the readers, kind of smell it and feel it and hear it and taste it and touch it. And so it's like reading a novel. Well, almost all of my books have at least several chapters like that. And then from there, I'll jump off and go into, you know, a good teaching, preaching, explaining of what they've just read. Well, but I've had so many people over the years say, I wish you'd write a whole book like that. Because I feel like I'm there, and the scripture just makes so much more sense when you put it in reality, and I'm on the road and I hear Jesus explain something and I go, oh, that's what he meant. Now I get it. So even my own father, I got to give a plug for my father. For years, he's read all my books and he would say that too. And I say, Dad, we get letters about that all the time. And he said, well, you need to write a book like that. I said, okay. You know what? The Lord's using you and all these other people. So that's what I've done with this book, brother. I have gone back. I've taken out all of the narratives of all of my books, all 11 books. I've put them together in chronological order. I've written many more chapters to fill in the blanks between that chronology. I've gone back even to the ones that I wrote. I didn't just copy and paste them. I've tweaked them. I've added some. I've taken away. I've corrected some things that I didn't really like. I've juiced them up, you know, and put a little more descriptive stuff in them. And I start basically at the Garden of Eden, and I go all the way through to John the Revelator, the last disciple alive, on his deathbed and his entrance into glory. And so, and the whole theme of the book is, I'm trying to give you glimpses of God's glory and what Jesus Christ is doing, what he did, why he did it, what he's doing now, where he's taking everything, what's getting ready to happen. And I'm doing that by taking you on a journey through the scriptures and putting you in the midst of each generation of the scriptures. I mean, you're on the ark with Noah. You're in the garden with Adam and Eve or the angels and Satan. I mean, you see what's happening. And then so much more all the way through to the coming of Jesus. You're with Joseph and Mary on their trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I mean, there's like five chapters describing everything they went through. It's like watching a movie. And then you're there when the Christ child is born. You're there when the angels come to the shepherds. And it kind of takes away the children's musical feel to it and puts it into real life. It's like you're there. You're with the shepherds. And it's not some mystical, magical thing. I mean, it's the dividing of the dimensions. It's like a portal opens, and there you're looking at the heavenly host, and you're there hearing what they're declaring. And anyway, I go all the way through. But the cool thing is, brother, I'll say this and I'll hush, it's like two books in one, because while you're reading this approach that you feel like you're reading a novel, every now and then I'll take a little interlude of a couple of chapters, 5 pages, 6 pages each, and I'll do a little bit of explaining to get you ready to immerse yourself back in it. But also along the way, if you're reading something that I say, or I pull it together in story form, and you think, well, that's creative, but you know, the Bible doesn't really say that. Well, if you'll look, you'll see that's probably footnoted. And if you'll follow the footnote to the back, it's like the footnotes become another book. Because if I present something, I will back it up. When you go to that footnote, you'll see scholars that said the same thing. You'll see word studies that I've done. You'll read some of my own commentary of why I've pieced it together that way based upon what the scholars and the word studies say. And then you come away, not only have you read the book and been informed and entertained and enjoyed reading it like a novel, but you've learned something too. And there's a lot of surprises in this book, brother, things that most people have never heard preached before, but yet they're right there in the Word of God, tucked away, and I've brought them forward and exposed them. That's why it's called Glimpses of Glory from Beginning to End.
Well, amen. I got a couple of words to say about that. First, folks, don't buy the book.
Thanks. Gee, thanks, brother.
No. Okay. If folks, if you read any of Carl's books, you know he lapses into these what he just said. We'll call them the glimpses of glory. And the first time, I don't remember which book you first did that in, but it really stood out to me. And I said, wow, that was cool. You know,
I did it in Magic Man in the Sky, the first book I wrote with the two guys on the college campus debating each other.
It's okay. But it has been a predominant thing, and it's a great explanatory thing. I never thought about it all in one book, but a lot of times I was left like, well, why did you stop there?
I know, that's what everybody says.
Be interesting. And, you know, I'm saying, well, wow, you know, I accept that. And so I'm going, okay. And then all of a sudden, okay, and the rest of the story ain't there. And so I really can't wait to read this. I bet I read it just like instantly, because it will take you in. But that's what your books do, Carl. They take you in, they educate you, and you know, they leave you with something. And I think I know of maybe 11 books. I'll have to re-go count, because
I don't remember.
I hope my count was right. I always say that when I get ready at the first program. Well, I hope I got one of them named. Yeah. But
well, I think that this book coming out, I think that will be my 12th book that I have authored myself. And the reason I say that is because I've written chapters for Tom Horn. I've written material for, I think, for Joel Richardson. If I haven't, please forgive me, Joel. I know he's written some for some of my books, and I've endorsed his books. But anyway, I've written, several other authors. I can't even remember all of them, but I've been so blessed to be asked to contribute other material. And I've even ghost-written a book for somebody, and because it's ghost-written, I'm not allowed to say who, but I even ghost-wrote a book for another author that his name is on it, and he did a good job writing that book. So
works, but, okay, well, that's fine. Well, we're down to really only got a couple of minutes, and so I really like to go ahead and let you go, because I need a minute to say a couple of things. But
Yes, that's fine.
And we're almost at the regular time anyway. So tell them where they can find you. We didn't do that for break because, anyway.
Okay. Well, listen. Yeah, listen, I've done a lot of talking tonight. You are gracious. Your audience is gracious. I pray your audience has been blessed a little bit. And God bless you. Thanks for having me on. They can find out everything about me at carlgallops.com. That's my name, .com. And the books, my ministry, sermon, archives and live stream to our worship services and all kinds of stuff, information, articles, videos. So carlgallops.com.
Yeah, amen. Well, don't go check it out, and thanks again for being on, Carl.
Thank you.
My audience and to me. All right, you be blessed.
All right, you too, brother. Love you.
All right, bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Pastor Carl Gallops, one of my most favorite people on radio. He's became a friend after talking to him over all these years, probably 10 years. I don't know. Who counts? Anyway, consider what we've said in this program. There's a lot of meat in here, and share it with others. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. We're feeding over 100 people each day that we're open. Some days it's a little less, but we're hitting numbers that we only see usually on Thanksgiving, so we're not used to it. But that's what we're doing. We're going to continue on. The Father's blessed us, so now that we're doing it, we've been doing it 22 years, and we're able to go on. Radio, I've been on radio as long, So pray about supporting talk radio. We really do need your help. Pray about a PayPal donation online. We could use it immediately. The feasts are coming up next week. Next week, first of the week, is Rosh Hashanah, and then 10 days later is the Day of Atonement, and then right afterwards is Feast of Tabernacles, Season of Our Joy. That's all within September. So y'all enjoy the feast, and we'll be back next week, but pray about supporting these things. But really, folks, you can donate over the phone, mail a check or money order, or give a donation over the phone. You can find all the information at promptjr.com or just call me. Must remember, though, there is only one true God. Who is he? He really is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. What did he do? He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. So, folks, pray about being a blessing to others. You should always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua HaMashiach's return. Lord our God, Father, King, universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Father, please bless and keep them. I pray your face shines upon them, and be gracious to them, Father. And give them peace, because no one or nothing else can. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 668. 5-1. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.